1 Corinthians chapter 3, and our text will be verse 9. We will read verses 1 through 9 in just a minute. A minister was approached by a man who wanted to join the church. And so the preacher is about to ask his typical questions that he always asks, but the man wasn't finished, and he just kind of started talking first and wanted him to know some things. He said, "I want to join the church, but I have a very busy schedule. I can't be called upon to help out. I can't work in a committee. I'm not much on teaching. I won't be able to fill that position. I'm not even going to be able to sing in the choir. And you know, for any of these special projects the church has going on, I'm not going to be able to do that. Setting up chairs, taking down chairs, I won't be around for those kind of things. And you won't be able to call upon me to go with you on evening visitation because I'm really tied up just about every evening." And the preacher thought for a moment as he heard this presented to him this way. And he replied, "I believe you're at the wrong church. There, go out the parking lot and go west about 3 blocks and across the intersection on the right. Go down there. I believe that's going to be the right church for you." And the fellow gets in his car and he follows the directions of the preacher and he looks across the street and it's an old, abandoned, boarded up church building from a church going out of business. The Christian is called to labor for the Lord. We're celebrating Labor Day tomorrow. You know, the first Labor Day was celebrated on Tuesday, September the 5th, 1882. It was in New York City, and it was in accordance with the plans of the Central Labor Union. And then the following September 5th, same date but different day, obviously, they celebrated the second Labor Day in 1883, and then in 1884, they decided to settle this holiday being on the first Monday of the month in September, and it's been that way since. It's a day that was set as an official day, a holiday, to honor the workforce in America, who among working people here, if you're retired, I'm happy for you. But who has the day off tomorrow? Can I get a raise of the hands? That's a good number of a percentage in this room. I was telling the Sunday school classes that I must have had the wrong jobs for 20 years. I had 2 different jobs in 20 years, and I worked every Labor Day for 20 years. People would ask me, "What are you doing for Labor Day?" And I'd say, "I'm laboring." And so I just had the wrong jobs. I asked so many questions about a job I would take, but never on the holidays. Anyway, there is laboring on a job, and that's a subject we could talk about, but that's not the subject for tonight. It's the Christian laboring for Jesus. The church at Corinth, they had a problem in their labor, in their work, and for whom they worked. You know, there was Paul, there was Apollos, and there was Cephas in the church, and so they had some issues. And so look with me in 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9 and focus on verse 9 mainly. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So Corinth had a problem in regard to with whom they worked. You know, Paul was a straightforward, no-nonsense doctrinal preacher. Some people would have probably called Paul a hard-nosed preacher. 2 Corinthians 10:10 says, for his letters, the ones God used Paul to write, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful. And then you have Apollos. And the Bible says, Acts 18:24, that he was eloquent and mighty in the scriptures. Paul and Apollos were different. Paul couldn't be what Apollos was in style or just the way he was, you know, in character. And Apollos couldn't be Paul. They had to be themselves. One thing they teach in seminary is don't try to be like another preacher. You have to be you. Whenever all of a sudden I was going to work with young kids, teenagers, and in ministry, and I had never done that before, one fella told me, you better be real. You better be yourself, because if you try to be something else, they'll sniff you out. So be real and be who you are. So Paul couldn't be Apollos, and Apollos couldn't be Paul. They were different. And this isn't okay because they were different, but in their differences, there were cliques that were created in the church as a result. So summing up what Paul is saying here, Paul says to them that their ultimate focus is to be on the heavenly person who they serve and not the earthly person. And so as we look at the Christian's labor tonight, well, let's just ask a question. Who is to work? Who is to work? Verse 9 says, for we are laborers. Who is to work for the Lord? We are. All of God's children are to be actively involved in the work of God. You go back to Numbers chapter 10 and chapters 11, and you'll find in there some things going on with Moses. And there were those who came to Moses and saying, hey, someone's trying to prophesy in the camp, in the camp of Israel. And it was among those of Israel. And summing up Moses, he was like, well, God bless them. May God's Spirit be upon them. For prophesying and ministering. Moses' reply lets you know that Moses knew he couldn't do the work all by himself. And, you know, in Numbers 10, that was in 11, in Numbers 10, Moses' father-in-law, he's going to take off a different direction from Moses. And Moses urges his father-in-law, hey, come with me and come do the work of God with us. And in Judges chapter 1 and verse 16, we find that Moses' father-in-law did go with Moses to do the work of God with him. The work of God is not designed to be a one-man operation. Moses knew that it takes all the people of God laboring in the work of God. As church members, we are called to the work of the Lord. In 3 John, in the only chapter that book has, in verse 8, we are called fellow helpers to the truth. I like that. Every single one of us are called that. When we look at the Great Commission, we are all called to this gospel work, to work for the Lord in leading other souls to Christ and bringing them in and getting them built up in knowledge in the Scriptures, baptizing them, and for them to serve. And you know, there are consequences for not serving, you know. This labor in the Lord. Thessalonica had a labor of love. And laboring in the Lord, look, this is not just an option for some Christians if they want to come up to a higher tier in Christianity. It's not just a good thing to do if some want to do it. Every Christian is called to labor for God. And by the way, the Greek meaning of that word labor speaks of to the point of exhaustion we work for the Lord. And there are consequences for not doing so. It's not an option. It's a command from God that we serve. I mean, there are consequences for not working the job as we should that we find in the Bible. So, of course, there are consequences for something even more important, not working for Jesus. You know, it's spiritual to work. It's spiritual to work a job and to take care of your own. And of course, the spiritual work of God, it is important for every Christian to be a part of. And there are consequences for both of those. We must always reflect personally on our labor, our willingness to labor, our service to the Lord. It wouldn't hurt anything at all to wake up every morning and make the statement, I need to volunteer. I need to volunteer today to work for the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I need to volunteer today. Lord, I volunteer myself to whatever you want me to do today. But we can't just say it. It's good to wake up maybe to that statement, I need to volunteer. But going with that needs to be, I need to surrender. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 59, Jesus says, follow me. And he's responded to. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I need to volunteer. I need to surrender. If we don't work for Jesus, There are consequences for doing so. Not just for the preacher, but something is said in regards to the preacher that makes a good pattern for all Christians. And I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians 9 to read that. And it's in verse 16. Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." There are consequences for not laboring for the Lord. I need to volunteer. I need to surrender. But guess what we can say after that? I need the Lord's help in this. And He offers us our help. He helps us. I remember when I was a young Christian and I saw things going on around church and so-and-so in this position, so-and-so doing that, and I'm just kind of watching this church thing going on and thinking, man, I could never do any of these things. You know what? The Lord helps us along to be able to serve Him. He creates situations. He creates circumstances. He puts a brother or sister in Christ with you, by you, and helps you in such a way to be able to serve it. We need help to be able to work for God. I'm going to read a verse to you, and maybe you've never thought about this verse quite in this way, but consider the emphasis on the help the Lord gives us in laboring for Him. Jesus says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." Look at the Lord and what He does for us in this picture to be able to serve Him. He has trained us and helped us to serve Him even if we don't realize it. There is help from the Lord to become a worker for the Lord or to continue to work for the Lord. Hey, that's important, because how many people think they're getting burnt out? And how many people think that they need a break or they just can't go on? Hey, the Lord helps. He does things in that area. And when all of a sudden there is a great desire or a greater desire than before to serve Him, you can thank God for that, because He is the one who sends forth. And He sustains us if we look to Him. Praise God for the help that He gives us to serve Him. And by the way, He's a great boss. He's an amazing boss. Who is to work? Well, we are. But how are we to work for the Lord? Well, we're to give it our all. You know, I wouldn't recommend that another associate pastor tell the stories or use the little aids from the senior pastor. But I just can't help it. I just can't help. I mean, they're just in my mind and I can't get over them, and they're great stories. Pastor Stone's first and only pastor who says, and somebody would be able to finish the story for me maybe, "If I were a knothole polisher," and he took his hanky out of his pocket and went over to the wooden paneled wall, he said, "I'd be the best knothole polisher there is." It's funny how the simple things just send a clear message to us that we are to be and do the very best that we can for God in working for Him. Praise the Lord. How are we to work? We are to give it our all. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatsoever our hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." Work as if it depends on you alone But work with that attitude and work well with others. We're to work together in the work with a good attitude. Our text verse says, "For we are laborers together with God." One man listed attributes of an organization and then asked the group to guess what kind of organization he was talking about. Now, this work and this organization, the details of it that he described was they work hard on weekends and they do so with little complaint. They receive no money and little compensation for their service. The work is dangerous and the workers are injured on the job. It is strictly voluntary in this organization. The organization has a very high morale. This organization has more workers than can be employed. They are highly motivated to achieve the organization's goals. The answer? Anybody? Not a spiritual answer yet. Does anybody want to take a guess as to what that would be? Okay. High school football team. That's what it was. But one man spoke up and said, that ought to be the church. Amen. How are we to work? We're to give it our all. Why are we to work? Why are we to work for the Lord? I was wondering why the Sunday school teacher of the class I was going to as a lost man, I didn't know I was a lost man at the time, but I was going to a Sunday school class, and this man had a son that died, and this man had a son that had a lifelong disease, and he could die from it at any time. And this man is the first one to church and turning all the lights on and the air conditioner on, and he's buying the donuts with money out of his pocket. You understand I'm digesting all this because I didn't know at the time, you know, church and how things were. And he's spending his money and buying these donuts, and then he's giving like this lecture, and it's really good sounding things, and I can tell that whatever it is, because I didn't know the Bible or anything, but this man was really preparing all week, it sounded like, to speak to us for 1 hour on Sunday morning. And then somebody told me he didn't get paid, and how clueless I am, I thought, what, somebody ought to be paid to do something like this. And that was my cluelessness and my lost condition of that. Why are we to work? I would have loved to have heard a few things that I'm about to say about this. But why are we to work? Well, because the work is great. And there is no greater work that can be done on the face of this earth than laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Nehemiah 6:3, it says, I am doing a great work. Someone was trying to interrupt the work and wanted to talk to him. And he didn't want to get into their politics or their drama or their lies or whatever they wanted to mix him up in. He was doing a great work. And he would not leave that great work for whatever someone else wanted to tell him to do or whatever they wanted with him. Why are we to work? Because the work is great. How about this? Because the Lord has commanded us to. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord has commanded us to work. How about that for why we're supposed to work? How about because we love the Lord? How about that for a reason why we work for Him and we labor for Him? Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. How about, not because the work is great, but how about the rewards that are great? Revelation 21:7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." How about the great reward that the Lord has put out there in store for us for eternity? I guess I used to think too super spiritual, or I tried to, which is not spiritual at all, about reward, saying, no, I'm not going to give in to that or talk about that and or have that focus of rewards. And by the way, that's not to be our main focus, but to shove them off to the side or try to put it out of your mind, why do that when Jesus encouraged us about rewards? He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth, it doesn't corrupt it. They're safe there, and we have them forever. Jesus encouraged rewards. Why are we to work? Well, the work is great. The Lord's commanded us to. Do we love the Lord? If we love him, we keep his commandments, because the rewards are great. With whom are we to work? We work with God. There are religions through this world who are working for God, and there's a sense in which we would say that we're working for God, and I know we mean that in the right sense, but we find in the scriptures here that we work with God. Back to our text chapter, 1 Corinthians 3. Listen to verses 6 and 7. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We work with God in his work here on this earth. If we don't, if we're not working with God in what we're doing nothing. John chapter 15, Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. And he says it again in the same chapter. We're working with God. It's counting for something in heaven. It's effective here in what we do if what we're doing is working with God. There is a lot of spiritual looking work that is done, and it's not done with God. And it doesn't count for anything. But praise the Lord that we get to work with God. God. That's who we work with. If we don't, we're doing nothing. If we do, we can do all things. All things that he has called us to do. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There is no ceiling on the work that God can use us in and for. I tell you what, I've had a time in my life where it looked like I had no extra hours any day. And God constantly made a way for me to be able to do some things for him. And the math and the hours, it didn't make sense. But we can do all things through him. Why are we to work? With whom are we to work? We're to work with the Lord. He works within and through us. Ephesians 3:16 says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Thank God for the person of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't glorify himself or draw attention to himself, but one of my first teachers and mentors decided I needed to learn about him. Because we find our confidence and we find our ability to serve him, to keep serving and not stop serving him by the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There is a whole sermon series on that, and you just can't get enough of it, because we find our confidence not in ourselves, which would wane, which would fall to the side, and we would quit, we would get burnt out, we would get tired, our attitude would stay in the wrong place, but by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we are able to work with God. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Praise God for the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can work with God. And speaking of enduring, speaking of holding out, speaking of not quitting, how long are we to work? Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Let me read this to you. It says, "And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted, without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. How long, Lord? How long do we labor for him? As long as there are people on this earth. As long as we are here. How about like the song we sang this morning? We'll work till Jesus comes. How about that? Isn't it good to know your purpose? Isn't it good to know your plan and what you're going to do that is most important in your life for the rest of your lives, to work with God? Listen to how Paul talked about this in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. He says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. For that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." But how about this? "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." Wow, how long are we to work? Paul thought about how wonderful it would be to go and to be with the Lord. Nevertheless, He had work and labor to do here among God's people. He believed he had a purpose, and that's why he was still here, to work among the and in the people of God and to help them. How long are we to work? There's just not a question of quitting. You don't retire from the work of God. It is our purpose, as long as we're here, as long as somebody's here, as long as Jesus has not returned to the clouds to get us yet. You know, the greatest employer in this universe is God. The greatest job there is in existence is serving God. The greatest benefits from any work come from His. The blessings now, the rewards later, and living with Him forever. That's coming for every child of God. The greatest life that can be enjoyed on this earth is by the Christian who works with the Lord. We are laborers together with God. That's what we're saved and left on this earth to be for Him. I can't help but think about a struggle. The Sunday morning sermons make me think about it, and just some talks with people recently make me think about it. But it makes me want to ask on a holiday theme message and a message like this tonight, is there anyone here trying to work for God's acceptance? Because that's not how it works. No one could ever do enough work to be accepted by God. I thumbed across this YouTube video, and not to be ugly, I'll just tell you what it was. It was a man, young man, and he was formerly a Mormon. And you know, you get raised in that stuff, and then they ship you out, I don't know how old, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. They ship you out for 2 years for some missionary work. And you know, I think they're shipping them away, states away from their homes, so nobody familiar to them could get to them with the gospel and the truth maybe. But they send them out, and man, they are on a mission somewhere else in some other state for 2 years. And this young man in his video, in his testimony, he was talking about how full of zeal he was for his religion. He had so much zeal that he attempted to convert an entire Baptist church. And so he sat down with the preacher and he started talking about his religion. And then the Baptist preacher started talking to him about something he could freely receive. And that was acceptance from a heavenly Father. Amen. That he's accepted already through Jesus Christ if he will trust him and not try to do some kind of work to attain a heavenly Father. And this young man just fell apart there in his seat listening to that preacher talk about the love of God through Jesus Christ. And it made him go all through his childhood and all through his religious upbringing. And an upbringing that had him to work and to try to do this and to try to be that. And he was going to work his entire life to hope to be accepted by a heavenly Father. And this preacher laid out before this man that was trying to convert a whole Baptist church to say, after all of that attempt to achieve, It can all be received right now through faith in Jesus Christ. And that man of that very strong, deep cult religion was saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And now he shares the gospel of Jesus Christ to be received freely by grace. If any will drink, let him come drink of the water of life freely. Praise God for that. The Christian works because we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are saved and left here on this earth for laboring for God, for doing good works. We're not saved by our good works. No one can work to get saved. No one can work to maintain their salvation. But every Christian is to work because they have been saved by Jesus. We're no longer our own to do what we want. We have been bought with a price. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he's not just Savior, he is Lord. And so we work for him now because we're saved. But if you're here tonight and unsaved, would you understand tonight the temptation that just rolls around within you and things are all unsteady in your thoughts of this spiritual life, if they're unsteady because you have some works to do in order to achieve God, you can receive him freely through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Salvation is the gift of God by grace and through faith. If you're here and you're saved tonight, praise the Lord for you doing a great job in serving the Lord and working for the Lord. There were many who worked hard at that service yesterday for Brother Fred, preparing a meal and everything else that was done. A lot of hard work, and thank God for that. But let us do an even better job of showing our appreciation to the Lord for saving us by fulfilling our duty that he has given to us while we are here to labor for him. And so I don't know what may be on your hearts this evening. It might be the child of God who realizes they need to wake up every morning and ask the Lord, what can I volunteer for? We're going to do something with our lives. Might as well fill it up with the things of the Lord. We'll never regret it. It's much better. May us as children of God do a better job, desire to do a better job. And by the way, ask the Lord for the help to be a better worker for him. But on the other side of things, if you think you've been on a road of laboring and I'm going to do good enough to be accepted by God, that will never happen. And we pray that tonight you would fall upon the mercy of God and his grace and receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight and we thank you, Lord, for your truth. I thank you for your church, Lord, that you left in this world, for your word that we have, for the power of your Holy Spirit, and for the miracle of taking sinners and saving us, that we might be able to serve you and labor for you, that our lives would become consumed by your work. Father, we ask for your help tonight. We're told in your word to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And Lord, you send us forth. May we have the confidence to know that you give us all the ability we need to labor for you. And we don't have to look at our watch, the hours in the day. Lord, you line it all out in an amazing way. But dear God, if there be one here tonight who is attempting religion, trying to work to earn you, Father, may their heart clearly see tonight. May the blinders be taken off, and may they see the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and your complete saving grace, and be saved. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If everyone could please.